Blog Talk Radio.
Down in Alabama, in Georgia, South Carolina.
can hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in calm, patient turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze.
Here we are once again, Saturday night, and we're with the man himself, Dr. Benjamin Bridges, and he said, let's experience spiritual unity, and let's do meditation, and let's develop economically, socially, politically, psychologically, spiritually. Now we present the man himself, Dr. Benjamin Bridges.
Yes, indeed, my brother. Glad to be back on my show and getting ready to share some information that I know will be helpful to our people. And that's the thing. We definitely need to find different ways that we can improve our lives. And there's no question about it. We can definitely do it. But it's just a matter of taking a step-by-step, you know, scenario to make it happen. And once we start to do that, we'll start to see a great and wonderful new reality coming our way. And one of the things that I wanted to touch base on today, which is very important, is something that we even touched base on your show yesterday, and that was talking about how we can improve our youth situation. And that's something that, you know, unfortunately, that we do find ourselves in a predicament where we do have our youth stuck in a lot of situations that are very destructive and negative, because we still have the gang wars going on. We still have our kids selling drugs in our community. And also we find quite a few of them still out on the streets as well. And being that they are, when you're in a desperate situation where you don't have money to, you know, be able to buy food and get clothing and things like that, it puts you in a situation of what they call desperateness. And unfortunately, in a desperate situation, sometimes you find our youth, you know, stealing from stores and stealing from people and doing things like that. And that's only because financially they were not left with an opportunity where they could, you know, have the financial support that they needed to live a decent life. And that's where we come in, you know, because, again, you know, it's very important, but we as the adults in our community need to step up to the plate and see what we can do to actually improve the lives of our future generations. And that's what our youth are. They are our future generation. And for some of us to not want to have anything to do with helping our youth or being a blessing to them in any kind of way is a terrible situation, because we need to have respect for them. We need to work to be filling our heart with the desire to help them instead of just saying, who cares if they go to jail or early grave? I don't care. You know, that's not the way that we deal with our youth. And that's not a way that we should actually, you know, conduct ourselves. But what we should do is find different ways that we can come together and deal with. Now, I'm going to start off with the practical viewpoint, because the practical viewpoint is a very important aspect. So that's the viewpoint the majority of our people deal with. And one of the things that's very important, and this was something that I learned from a brother who had his radio station. He didn't have a radio show. He had a radio station. But the beautiful thing about what he was dealing with, and he shared this with me on his experience, he said that he actually had his radio station, and he did a lot of advertising whether it was through flyers, whether it was through going on to certain black organizations and, you know, letting them know that he had just started a new radio, black radio station, and that, you know, these black organizations should plug in with him and actually, you know, watch some of the things that he's going to be talking about. But he's going to be talking about different things that can help to improve the black community. Well, anyway, in him doing that, and it took him about a year and a half to 2 years, but he got there to the point where he had 3 million people on his radio station. And that was really good because, you know, 3 million people, for some people might not be that much, but that is a lot of people. Anyway, what he ended up doing on that, because he was doing positive programs to help the elderly, that he was, you know, trying to help them out, black elderly, and he was also trying to help out, you know, folks that didn't have any food that were out on the street. He had a food program for them, and he was also dealing with an entrepreneurial program to help people, you know, that didn't have any jobs, and he was talking to them about how they could even work from home, and but they just had to have a phone or a computer to plug into the internet. Because he said you could get, you know, different types of business opportunities that you could plug into on the internet. And that was pretty good that he was coming from those three aspects. And because he was doing that, and he was saying that with the community, this is what I'm doing, but I need you guys' support. Each month, he did a fundraiser on his radio show and asked his 3 million people, listen, even if you guys could just give up $3 or $5, you know, or $10 or $20, or I'm not going to tell you not to put up $100 if you want to, but if you do want to put up $100, you could do that. But for the average person, if they don't have that kind of money, they could just give up $3 or $5, and that would be enough to help out. But I just need that once a month. And if you guys could give that up once a month, that would be great. So anyway, he shared with me when he did this, he was actually making, each month he was making $1 million from the 3 million. Because each month, after adding up all the money that the 3 million people gave, you know, he was ending up with $1 million. And I said, wow, that's not bad, brother. That's $12 million a year that you're getting. He said, yeah, and that's just in donation. And he said, what we're doing also, we're taking this money and investing it in different things to make money with the money. And I said, wow, that sounds really good. And we're also using this money to put into the programs that I was sharing them with. So these are things that we need to do as well. Because if you could get, and we got 50 million people in our black communities here in the United States, if we could get donations to come through from our people to help us so that we could get good programs for our youth and get them off the streets. And the beautiful thing about this is that they need entrepreneurial programs. That's very important, because without them having enough money to feed themselves or to get clothing, sneakers, all kinds of different things that they need, the bottom line is that puts them in a desperate situation. And when you're in a desperate situation and you're really not getting any support to help yourself financially, that's when people go out and steal from stores, they steal from people in their community and stuff. And that's because they don't have a positive program or situation that can show them how they can improve their lives or how they can actually become a person that can live a prosperous and positive life. When I say prosperous and positive, I mean you're making money, but you're making it where you're not doing anything illegal. You're doing things that are positive, and that's the good thing about it, you know? So these are things that can really be very helpful to our people. And one of the things I would like to share as well, which is a new program that has come out, and it's a very powerful program as well, and that is a program that's dealing with showing our youth how they can play a part in supporting black businesses. And when I say that, I mean that, and this is very important, because a big part of the problem with our community, as I have stated before, dealing with Buy Black movement, is that the big problem that we were finding with that is that our people, many times, they don't even want to support black businesses. And that's really ridiculous because, you know, last year they said we were able, as 50 million people in the United States, we were able to put up $1.8 trillion in money that we put out to purchase different products. And in putting out that money to purchase different products, that was interesting to see that, you know, that much money was put out from our people. And I was like, wow, they have that much cash? But the other side of the story was this. In them dealing with that, they also were in a situation where they were having a problem because out of that $1.8 trillion, they were giving the majority of that money out to other races and to other people, you know, outside of our community. And they said that 97% of that money that was spent outside of our community. And that only left 3% of what was happening in our community. And that was really something because with that 3%, it means that black people here in the United States are only spending a very small amount, crumbs off the table, to supporting their own community and the black businesses here in the United States. And that's ridiculous. But that's what comes when there's no unity in our community, and it also comes when we as a people aren't having the respect and the caring and the wanting to help one another feeling in our hearts and minds. But this is the thing. For those youth that do sign into the program, they will get a commission for bringing other people into buying products there. And when they buy different products, those black businesses, or even if they want to use black businesses' services, like lawyers, holistic health practitioners, or whether you want to utilize different folks that have different services like contractors and real estate brokers. You know, there's a number of different, you know, opportunities that are out there. But the only problem is we don't even know where they're located, and we don't know things that are there. And the reason why is because, you know, we haven't as a group of people work together to actually try to share this kind of information with our people. But anyway, with the Black Buy Movement program, they have that network information that's there for you. And you can find out in each state what you can do in regards to buying into different black products that are international, not just here in the United States, but in Africa, in Caribbean islands, and in South America, and, you know, just in Central America. There's a number of different black communities in all these different nations. But the bottom line is that we as a people aren't really collaboratively working together to, you know, see what we can do to support one another. And that's where the situation comes in, where you see our people making other nations, whether they be white, Hispanic, Asian, we're making them mostly billionaires, you know, and millionaires because we're giving all our money out to them and purchasing products from them, whether it's their restaurants, whether it's their stores, whether it's their services from their business people, you know. So these are things that we need to wake up and start to realize that we can have our youth play a very serious, you know, role in actually giving out this information about how we can support each other. And each time a person buys a product, that person that you signed in as that youth, he would actually get a commission for that. And whether they're out on the street signing people in or whether they're talking about giving that information out to different folks in their family or whether they're giving out information to friends in their community, you know, the bottom line is giving out that information and signing people up into the program is good for them and it's good for your community. So it's what you call a win-win situation. Our youth will win because they'll start to get a stream of income to come in to help them, you know, in regards to getting money for themselves so that they won't be stuck out there on the street. And the only thing that they can really do is sell drugs and start stealing and all that kind of crazy stuff. But when you give them a positive program to deal with, that's a good thing. Another option that is good as well is dealing with them with, you know, the internet businesses that, you know, you can sign into as well. And those internet businesses are also still available for youth to get involved with. And it was a funny thing, because a good friend of mine, his name is Ed Hull, and he was the director of a community center in Yonkers. And, you know, I just went there a number of times, so I was like, wow, he has a really good entrepreneurial program. But he was teaching that how you could actually sign into the internet, and while you're getting into those internet business programs, you can make a lot of money dealing with that. And he was dealing with that and showing and teaching our people how they could, you know, benefit from something like that. And the good thing about that was that as he was doing that, a lot of people were starting to make some serious money in Yonkers. And then the word got out on that. And unfortunately, when the white racists in Yonkers heard about that, they shut down his community center. And I was like, wow, well, how did that happen, man? He said, I can't even believe this, man. He said, after they shut community center, you know, the following week, you know, we were going to have a meeting with all the different directors of the community center. So I went to that meeting, and I even asked them, because the way that they made it sound was like Yonkers was broke and didn't have, you know, two pennies or nickels to put together to do different things for the community. That's why they had to shut my program down. And he said, you know, they said that, you know, there's probably going to be quite a few community centers in Yonkers that were going to be shut down as well. You know, not just yours, but, you know, other ones as well. And he said, wow, that's really something. I'm sorry to hear that Yonkers got hit that hard financially that they couldn't help our people. Anyway, make a long story short, what ended up happening with that was the fact that he did go to the meeting, and then, you know, the different directors of the community center were there, and they were talking about different things, and then he spoke about what just happened to him, and he said, well, how many of you guys got their community center shut down? They said, community center shut down? What are you talking about? Are you joking around? Are you serious? Your community center got shut down? He said, yeah. You know, they came to you and told me that not only my center, but quite a few other centers would be 9 out of 10 be shut down as well. So I'm just trying to find out how many of yours got shut down. They said, none of our centers got shut down. And he said, what? They just told me that because of the money situation, they shut mine down. But later on, when he thought about why they really did it, that was the reason, because he was very successful in getting a number of our people involved with the internet businesses so that they could, you know, make some money, and they were very successful with it. So I guess they saw that as a threat, and they didn't even want to allow, you know, the black community to rise up through the internet businesses and things of that sort. Anyway, with Ed Hull, and I do salute the brother on that, because he came up with an excellent idea, and that idea actually worked, and that was a good thing. But the only thing was, you know, they didn't want his business opportunity to exist in our community because they felt that it was too much of a threat that our community might financially rise up. And we could get our kids off the street. We could do a number of different things with people that were suffering financially. And that would be something that would really bring about a brand new community out with. But the bottom line was, you know, after they shut it down on that, you know, eventually he just was so fed up with what they did that he even moved down south and just said, oh, forget Yonkers. And I could definitely understand why he was frustrated and angry with the Yonkers people, because they didn't really want to, you know, allow our people to even see financial success coming through for them. So these are things that we can do, though, but in a collective, more collective and unified way, instead of individuals doing it that may find a great opportunity. That's one good thing. But if we could do it as different groups coming together and working together to actually see what we could do, that would be really great. But the thing about it is we have to, you know, see what we can do on the financial side to really help to plug our youth into different programs that could really change and improve their lives. Because a lot of them right now are really, really in terrible situation. Some of them, it's too late to help them because they're in early coffins. Others are in jail for stealing and selling drugs. We don't need to have that for our youth. That shouldn't be a regular situation that you find for many of our kids in our community. But what we can do is utilize different programs, like I just told you, that they could deal with the Black Lives Movement, where they could actually participate in helping to get the word out on that and signing people into the program. And each person that they sign in will literally be a person that they will be able to help out in regards to actually making money, because, you know, for each person that they sign into the program, they will also be able to get a commission on that. And that would be a good thing. So these are things that can really work out nicely. We just need to show our youth different positive programs they can get into, and that would be good. And the other thing that's very important, too, too many of our youth have so much hate and anger towards one another, and out of desperation, they don't have any problem with pulling that trigger and killing each other because, you know, if I can force you to sell drugs for me, I can make a lot of money, and my gang can get money out of your gang. And it's also, I could take over your gang and all this kind of crazy stuff. But these are some of the things that, you know, the gang wars, you know, have inspiration for. Because if I could conquer 3 or 4 different gangs, and each of those members in that gang could be out there, you know, selling drugs, and out of that money, we're getting the majority of that money. And that's a good thing, you know. So we'll, instead of making a few $100 a week, we could be making hundreds of thousands of dollars or thousands and be doing that kind of stuff. Of course, it inspires our youth to want to get involved with something crazy like that. But the terrible thing about it is that's where they could go to jail. That's where the gang wars continue, because no gang wants to be selling, you know, drugs for another gang, and they're just making drugs. Comes off the table. And that kind of crazy stuff doesn't need to be existing either. But the other side of it is, you know, to change the mindset of our youth not to be stuck in feeling that, you know, killing or forcing them to sell drugs for you is a good thing, because you can make a lot of money. And that's not a good thing. That's a terrible thing. And our youth need to learn how to have respect for one another, to show caring and wanting to help one another. And if they could come into that mindset, that would be a huge and wonderful type of situation that would really change their lives to be something that would really be fantastic for them to start to live in that kind of positive thinking mindset. Anyway, these are things that can happen. People say, well, we could do something spiritually to change the lives of our kids. We really can. And the problem is that because some of us have not experienced this yet, we think it, see it as a joke. But it's not a joke. It's something that could really turn the lives of our kids totally around. And that's something that we really need to do. And if we don't do it, then basically what's going to happen is We're going to continue to see the murdering of our kids. We're going to continue to see the hatred of our kids towards one another. And we're going to see our kids going into early grave and into jail as well. And we don't need to see any of that situation. But that's where we come in. We have to step up to the plate and see what we can do to bring about positive programs that are common sense programs, that would be good programs to improve the lives of our kids. And also, seriously, we need to come together in unity and pray for positive change in the hearts and minds of our kids. Because when we did that, we actually were able to see that come about. And I was very thankful because it wasn't, you know, just us. It was the power of God and Jesus. And Jesus shared with us a spiritual formula that actually transformed the minds and hearts of our kids. And that was really great. So all I can say is that we have to awaken to knowing the ability of what we have, because it's not so much just us per se having all of this power. This is God's power. And God allowing us to utilize that power where we can truly tap into it and deal with it from a positive perspective, that's a good thing. But the big problem with all of that is that when you are in that type of situation and you actually cannot, you know, see a way of coming out of that because you feel that, you know, this selling these drugs or being in this gang is the only thing that, you know, is positive for you and you want to just stay in it, then it's going to be very hard to bring that person out of a gang situation unless you can show them a positive opportunity where they don't have to worry about the threat of going to jail or the threat of being killed by, you know, another gang, you know, battle that's coming up, you know, maybe in the next week or two. But these are things that they don't even have to think about. Is this something that soon I'm going to have to deal with? And that's a good thing because they shouldn't have to deal with different types of headaches and problems like that. And we, as adults in our community, we have the responsibility to really take care of our kids and to bring about positive opportunities. But that's the thing. Right now, lately, being in that positive mindset where we want to care for one another, we want to help each other, we want to show our people different ways that they can improve their lives, you do have some individuals that are out there, but they're scattered amongst 50 million people. So it's not like, you know, in every community you have about 10 or 20 people like that, or even 5 or 6. The bottom line is in some of the communities, you don't have anybody out there that wants to bring about positive change. But that's the thing. We have to now start to awaken our people, the adults, and the youth to wanting to make that change. And also, that's also where we come in through the power of prayer and meditation, where we can also bring about positive change in that perspective as well. And these are things that really do make a big difference, because in us bringing about positive opportunities to our youth, and not just our youth, but even our adults, because unfortunately, some of our adults are also stuck in situations where they are out on the street begging for food and begging for money, and also in situations where, because they're in a desperate situation, they don't even know when the next time they're going to get any money for food and things of that sort. And being that they are in that situation, they're in a situation where they're stealing as well. So we want to eliminate all of that out of our community. So we have to come together. And like I said earlier, with the gentleman with the radio show that had the 3 million people in his radio show, that was wonderful because he was able to get $1 million a month from different people that were on his radio show, because he convinced them on his radio show every time he spoke about, you know, different ways that we could help each other and improve each other's lives and be a blessing to one another. But that's the thing. Do we really want to do something to help each other? And the honest to God truth is, there's a number of our people out there that wouldn't mind doing that. But the problem is, we have to show them that we have something set up where we can actually carry on with this particular program, that particular program, and another particular program that can really help our people. And if we can show that, then some people wouldn't mind. And at much time, I mean, we're talking about 4 weeks just sending up $3 or $5 or $10 or $20. That's really no money. So even people that are suffering themselves financially, you know, for them to put up $3 in a month, that's nothing. But if you're asking them for $50 or $100 or $1,000 in a month, that's a whole other story. And that could be way over their heads in regards to them being able to give anything. But the other side of the story is this. We need to come together financially and see what we can do to help one another. And in so doing, we'll be able to see a lot of great blessings coming through to really restore our community and our people in a positive situation instead of them being stuck in a negative situation where they are really suffering because they don't have the financial abilities to really support themselves or people in their family. And especially for moms and dads that have just lost their job or in a situation where they, you know, just went out of business or something, you know, and you got 2 or 3 or 5 kids that you're taking care of, that's also another tremendous problem because you got to feed these kids, you got to give them clothing, you got to, as a parent, you can show them an example of who you are and what you can do to, you know, live a positive and, you know, prosperous life yourself. But if you, because you're suffering, because you don't have any money and everything is all jacked up and jammed up for you, it makes it very difficult, you know. All I can say is with all the difficulty that's there, we do have the ability to change it and to bring about positive new opportunities that can be game changers for our people. But the bottom line is if we are going to bring about those positive changes, we definitely need for our people to awaken to the fact that we are worthy of helping one another. We are truly brothers and sisters that should be looking out for one another, not to destroy and kill one another or to hate each other, but to truly want to be a blessing to one another. And when we come together in that particular mindset, that's what's important. And we can definitely do that. Because there's enough of our people out here that are active with it, but it's just not, the problem is that they don't have the money to get their programs activated so that they can really help get these programs up and running. And that is a serious problem. But in the meantime, what we need to do is, again, come together on a collective basis and see what we can do, even if it's just through donations. But again, even though the brother said, you know, he had his radio show, the thing that really helped him out was that he got the word out to millions of people. And in him getting the word out to millions of people about his radio show, that's when he ended up with just 3 million people. But still, 3 million was a good start. And it was only like a year and a half to 2 years, he was saying, that it took him to get those 3 million people on his radio show. And that's why it's very important. We get the word out. We find ourselves speaking and showing our people that we do have the ability to really bring about positive change in our community. But the only thing with it is that we need to awaken our people to know that we are at the point where we have to start to reach out to help one another and to be a blessing to one another. And when we start to deal with things from that perspective, that's when we're going to start to see a great and wonderful opportunity coming in our direction. And that would be a good thing, because right now, in seeing the negative situations that are in our community, it doesn't mean that they have to, you know, get worse and worse and worse. They can actually be erased and replaced by us coming together in unity, in spirituality, and in practical, you know, knowledge of seeing things from a practical viewpoint. And if we can deal with things from that perspective, we'll start to see a great and wonderful new reality for ourselves and for our people. And that's really what it's all about. Not just trying to get money for yourself and fill your wallet up just for you, but also trying to see what you can do to help your people too. That is something that's very important. But once we start to do things like that, we'll start to see a great and wonderful opportunity for ourselves. And with that being said, I just wanted to make sure that we saw those two things that are very important. Coming together for our youth to give them opportunities to improve their lives with positive programs that could be there to pull them off the street, that can help to change their mindset spiritually. And also, one of the other programs that we did have, and I almost forgot about this, I didn't mention it, we had a program that was very powerful as well, and that was a meditation program that we did in the schools. And that meditation program was not only there just to help them improve their academic situation, but it was also there to give them peace of mind and to also take their minds out of that negativity and bring it into positivity. And it wasn't easy, and I'm not going to lie and tell you that, oh, yeah, everybody that was in the class, we were able to help. Because some of them, you know, they were so stuck into negative thinking and feeling that, you know, they just didn't want to come out of it. And they didn't even want to deal with the medication. It's just that, you know, there were different teachers that recommended they should go into the program so that they could benefit themselves. But some of them, you know, they just, this ain't going to work for me. I don't have nothing to do with this. I ain't closing my eyes. No, no. You know, so some of them just didn't see this as an opportunity. But for those that did and were open-minded and open-hearted to try to see if something new like this could be of, you know, a significant change for them, those were the ones that actually did benefit with it. And those were the ones that we were glad to see them getting on the A and B honor roll. And we were also glad to see them coming out of a negative mindset where they constantly just saw themselves, you know, from a down and out perspective, constantly singing that woe is me song. Oh, man, my life is nothing but a big mess. And, oh, man, this is crazy. I'm going through all of this. And, yeah, you know, there's a lot of different things that our youth are stuck in. But the bottom line is that they don't need to stay there. And I was really glad. We got awards for our meditation program from principals as well. And I was really glad to see that. But the bottom line is this. When you are opening up the door to bring people out of a negative mindset into a positive mindset, it truly makes a huge difference in their lives, especially for those that are willing to give you an opportunity to teach them, you know, something positive, like to use meditation and to use visualization as a means to get them to see themselves in a positive perspective and to keep themselves in that positive perspective. And that's very important. So there's a number of different programs out there that we could use, whether it's dealing with things from, like I said before, entrepreneurial programs that can show our youth how to actually improve their lives by dealing with things from that positive perspective. And when I say how they can use their thinking to think positive and to believe that they can create positive and wonderful new opportunities for themselves. Because one of the big problems is when you only are going to be stuck in seeing your life from a negative perspective, you're just seeing, you know, positive opportunities coming your way, but they're not going to be of any help or anything, because, you know, we know that, you know, anything you get involved with always doesn't work. And that's the thing. If you're going to convince yourself that things can't work for you, then you're right, because you need to start to believe that you could actually bring about positive change into your life. Because as the old saying goes, what you see is what you get. And if all you're going to see is negativity, then you're building a brick wall around you that is stopping you from reaching successful opportunities and situations that can change your life. But we have to show our youth that they need to tear those brick walls of negativity down by starting to believe that they can start to live a positive and wonderful new reality. And that's the thing, they definitely can do it. But the question is, are you going to really try to do it? You know, unfortunately, for some of them, the answer is no, because they've experienced so much negativity in their life that here you come with another opportunity for them, and they feel it's a waste of time and nothing to do. But when you can show them different results, and that's the thing that got a lot of our kids involved with stuff like this. You know, they saw the results of their friends that were in similar situations that they were stuck in. They was like, wow, you're on the A or B honor roll now? Wow, that's great, man, because I know you were failing and on the D and the F honor roll. You wasn't doing nothing, man, and now you're doing pretty good, man. That's great. And so, you know what, I need to get out and shot myself since you were able to make it happen. So these are things that help to get other kids excited and to want to deal with it, and that's a good thing. So whether you're dealing with, you know, the entrepreneurial programs that show them different ways that they can improve their life business-wise or job-wise, where they can make positive money, don't have to worry about going to jail or anything with that, and that's a good thing. The other thing that's very important is, as I mentioned earlier, spirituality, where we can pray for the lives of our kids and tear down the negative situations that they are stuck in and allow, you know, God's divine love and Jesus' divine love to penetrate into their minds and hearts and soul so that they can cleanse all of that negativity away and start to see themselves living in a brighter day. And that could be something that can definitely happen. So spirituality, entrepreneurial business opportunities. Also, the last thing that I mentioned to you was dealing with meditation programs, you know, where you can show you how they can come out of a negative mindset of just seeing themselves as a victim of poverty, a victim of, you know, probably, you know, ending up in jail soon or because they're stealing or selling drugs and all that kind of crazy stuff. But when you can actually, you know, show them that they don't need to stay in that kind of negative mindset, that's a good thing. And that opens the door for them to start to see that they can, you know, really move forward into positive things that they can do, and that could open the door for them to turn things around too. So these are things that I'm really glad to see, because in this happening, it opens the door for a brand new reality. And that brand new reality is us showing our youth different ways that they can improve their lives. And this is something that, unfortunately, as, you know, we look around in our community, there are opportunities out on the street, as I said before, with the drugs and the gangs and all of that, and negative stuff. but I'm talking about now positive ways that they can improve their lives and really start to see some great and wonderful things coming through for them. And we can make that happen. It's not even a question about can you do it. You can definitely do it. But how can you do it if there's nothing out on your community or out in your community that shows your youth and what they're dealing with right now? And that's unfortunately where a lot of kids, and the reason why a lot of kids are suffering today, there's no positive programs out there for them. You know, for what you have in your public schooling system, you know, it doesn't cover all those things. You know, entrepreneurialism and actually dealing with, you know, spirituality and bringing about positive change. And they did actually allow meditation in there in some of the schools. And it was funny because some of the schools didn't even want to have meditation in the schools as well. They just saw it as something that was religious and all of this. But we were telling them that we're not going to be there, you know, praying to God with the kids. We're just going to be focusing on visualizing themselves into a positive perspective on how they could do things to bring about positive change. And it was like really interesting to see that was something that they actually were still more interested in happening. Because if something like that could really work, we could get the majority of our kids, you know, out of many of the problems that they were dealing with. Some of the school principals, you know, they didn't want that to happen. They would rather see them go into jail or go into that early grave. And that's a whole other thing. And that's one of the reasons why we need to have our own school. But that, again, is where the money comes in. In order for us to get a building, in order for us to hire teachers and to actually show them, the kids, you know, different programs that will help to benefit them and to really be able to, you know, be a game changer for them. But like I said earlier, one of the big things would be even Black history. That would be something that would make our kids, you know, yell out every day, "Hey, say it loud, I'm Black and I'm proud now. Before I was Black and ashamed, but now I'm Black and I'm proud." You know, and having Black history can really show our kids how they should be proud of being Black, because there's many things that our people have done, you know, in the past that would definitely give you a feeling of knowingness that we, are people that have accomplished some great and wonderful things in life. And when you're told that your people have never accomplished anything in life, and, you know, the best thing that they've ever done is be, you know, farmers and grow, you know, different vegetables and, you know, things like that, but in regards to them actually, you know, doing something that was phenomenal or great or wonderful for their people or for the world, they don't want you to know any of those things that we actually achieved. And that's really a shame, because we were told that, you know, from, you know, the public school system that, hey, you know, you and your people, you know, are really not going to be able to accomplish anything, because, you know, you're really folks that unfortunately are stuck in just having a negative mindset, and, you're never going to accomplish anything, really. And that was really sad to see, because our people, many of them were labeled, you know, as being mentally disabled, and, you know, they needed to be in special ed programs and all this kind of crazy stuff. And when you're told that from a youth, that you are mentally disabled and you unfortunately are not capable of doing anything positive, you know, that's when unfortunately when our youth start to really see terrible situation for themselves in the future. Because when you're walking around in a situation where the school system is showing you that you're mentally incapable, that's terrible. And that's another reason why so many of our youth drop out of school as well, because they feel frustrated and angry the way that the system is made, because all they're hearing is nothing but negativity about themselves. And that's not how a new black school system would be operating. It would show them positive things of our ancestors, positive things that they could do, you know, from the business end of the story, how they can make money and they don't have to be selling drugs or going to jail or being an early grade. And that would be a good thing, you know. Another good thing would be them being able to also not only just learn the black history and entrepreneurialism, but also have that meditation program that can show them how they can liberate themselves from being stuck in a negative mindset and seeing themselves and their people in a negative way. And now they can start to see themselves in a positive way. And that could be something that could really be a serious thing. But these are things that our people need to have in our community, because these public school systems are really rigged against our people, not for our people. And, you know, it's very difficult, you know, for our kids to really do well in these school systems that are not really hooked up for them to be very successful in. And because that's the case, that's where we need to come up to the plate and really show our people a different way in which we can do things. But when we're going to be stuck in seeing things from that negative perspective, that's when, unfortunately, we are going to find ourselves in a terrible situation where we really don't need to be. So all I can say at this point is these are some of the things that we can do to definitely change, you know, some of the negative things that we're seeing our youth stuck into. And once these kind of things come about, that's when we're going to really be able to see some great and wonderful opportunities, you know. And that's what our kids need, positive and wonderful, great opportunities that can appear for our kids. And, you know, that was another thing, you know, even with our meditation program and even with our Science Against Teen Violence program, you know, we did that for 2 years, and the school system refused to pay us a dime, a nickel or a penny. And, you know, being that I was in the classes with them and, you know, with the meditation program, and also we had the, you know, programs dealing with the Stop the Violence Youth Program, because I was, once a month, we were going into all the schools with our groups. And sometimes we have 50 people, sometimes we'll have 75, sometimes we'll have 35, you know, depending on the school. But the bottom line was we would have different speakers come in here and talk to the kids. And we would have two or three in the auditorium in the beginning. That's how we would start off. And then afterwards, we would just go into the classroom with the kids. And that day, that one day was dedicated towards our program, and we would be able to talk to all these different kids about different ways that they can improve their lives, how they need to come out of the gangs, how they need to stop selling drugs, and all these kind of, you know, crazy things needed to be stopped. And if we could to focus on, you know, seeing ourselves from a positive perspective and wanting to really do things in a positive perspective, that would be a great thing for us to do, because that was one of the things that our people needed to do, you know. And in doing that, our people would start to really be able to, you know, change from that negative perspective into the positive. Anyway, you know, it was kind of rough, though, because that means that you just had to volunteer to work, you know, every day for free. And that was not an easy thing. And, you know, luckily, you know, I was dealing with this. My ex-wife, she, you know, she was a school teacher, so she was getting paid. But the bad thing about it was even in her getting paid, you know, it wasn't really enough to cover all our bills and everything that we had. And then the money that I was making was through donations and stuff, but I was getting little to no money on the donations. And that was really another thing that was really crazy because it was very difficult to, you know, plug into, you know, actually getting money, you know, from these different organizations. Some of them were government and some of them were actually just business donators, you know, that are making billions and millions of dollars. And, you know, some of them don't mind giving money out into the community, but, you know, when you're only getting, you know, like, you know, $1,500, $500, $300, you know, that was no money because the same amount of money that we were getting, a good portion of that needed to go back into the system that we had so that we could, you know, do certain things that we were doing, you know. And, yeah, it was kind of sad to see that the public school system, they just wanted you to be a volunteer and don't be looking for no money. And, you know, I was really sad to see that because I thought that, you know, with the school system and with the, you know, government, yeah, that's the other side of it, is that when you really see programs that are working and stopping the violence in the schools and really saving the lives of our youth, why aren't you paying these guys some money? And that was the thing. They really wanted you to just say, ah, I can't do this no longer, man. They guys want me to put in all this time, and then when I put in the time, I'm not getting paid a nickel or a dime. Oh, security, man, I ain't putting in no money. And that was the thing. They really didn't want to pay us any money. And that made it very difficult for us to actually move forward with this because it was a situation where we weren't getting paid no gas and dealing with this. And even the other people in our group, not all of them were in the meditation program, but the majority of our, you know, people in Parents Against Teen Violence were the speakers that would come once a month into the school, and they didn't have pretty much, you know, a big problem with that because it was just one day out of a month. But still, they were volunteering to go in. But the other program with the meditation, that was just like a regular school program because that was, you know, every day, you know, dealing with that. And, you know, the youth in there, you know, would come into the program and, you know, deal with that. But that was a whole other story. But anyway, I was very thankful that our meditation program was successful. I was very thankful that our program dealing with Parents Against Teen Violence and stopping the violence in the schools was very successful as well. Because with all of that happening, it really helped tremendously with our youth being able to be set free from, you know, a lot of the violence and murdering and killing that they were doing. And also getting some of the kids that were stuck and failing in school, getting some of them onto the A&E honor roll. And that was a good thing. But we were helping to open their minds from negativity to positivity and telling them no longer believe the lie that you are mentally incapable because you are mentally competent and able to make, you know, yourself and your way onto that A&B honor roll. But in order to do it, you have to believe you can do it. If you're going to see that the A&B honor roll is mission impossible for you and you can never do it, then of course, you're not going to do it. But if you believe that you are capable mentally, when that's what we're trying to tell you, you definitely are, then that's something you can do. And thanking God once again that we were able to get that message through to a lot of our youth, and that was a good thing. But anyway, right now what I would like to do is see if there's anyone that has any response to anything that we've just been speaking on at this time. in regards to
yes.
helping our youth out, that would be a good thing.
469-512. Your mic is open. 469-512. Maybe you got to unmute yourself. I hear you a little bit. Your mic is open. 469-512. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, just listening in on the comments you were making. And I agree with a lot that it has to do with people needing to help more to build black businesses and support their own communities in order to build up for a better environment. And then in the same token, we need more black corporations in operation to make these things happen as well. As far as the youth go, I mean, people are adapting to what they're used to. We always need more education. We always need to push forward in rebuilding communities. But when we are doing these things and the people are not helping themselves with the things that we are supplying for them as well, it doesn't help because the youth is not sticking up for what we're doing for them. What do we do in situations like that?
Right. Well, that's the thing. You know, we as a people, you know, because it's an old saying. I don't know if you ever heard it before, but it's an old ancient African saying. It says it takes a village to raise a child. And that means that our people as adults need to rise up and take on the responsibility of seeing our youth as being worthwhile to actually help. Because that's the thing. When I was dealing with our program, you know, and trying to find different speakers that were youth activists, that were community activists and people that were actually doing things to supposedly help the community, I was surprised to hear a lot of them said that, nah, well, this is a waste of time. Who cares if those kids kill each other and all of that? So the thing about it is we as the adults need to change that negative. They start to see our youth as being very worthy of us helping. And even if that youth doesn't come from you and your wife, or you and your husband, or whatever the situation is, you know, between two people, the bottom line is those adults need to look beyond their own children and start to see the children in their community as being a part of their family community, you know, those children being a part of their family as well, you know. And what
I agree 100% with that, and that's what I was saying. Like, most people only worry about their own, and when we were coming up, it was neighbors was looking out for other neighbors, whether they knew them or not.
Mm-hmm.
And along the line, over the years, people have stopped caring. People have become so desensitized to their emotions and caring about other people outside of their own. And
right.
That is the biggest problem that we're facing today.
Mm-hmm. But that's where we come in. We need to, like, talk and have different community events where we're talking to people in our community about really coming together in unity to help our youth. And even if that child is somebody you see hanging out on a street corner and they might be looking like they're about to try to sell drugs or something, and you're saying, oh, I ain't saying that to him. You know, these are things that we need to think about and say, you know what, let me go up to this guy and tell him, you know, you could end up in jail behind selling drugs. you know that you might even get shot by another drug dealer trying to steal your drugs. Why would you want to put yourself in that kind of situation? And when you speak to some of these youth in that kind of category, you know, what's going to end up happening, some of them are going to scratch their head and say, you know what, this guy is right. I'm putting myself in a bad situation. But that's when the right programs need to come up to play where we can say, listen, instead of doing this, why don't you do this? This is something that you could do. You don't have to worry about no jail time for doing something illegal. And you could also do something where you can make not just a few dollars, but you can make hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars. And if you could show youth that they have these types of programs that are out there that they could participate in, then that would be the game changer for many of their lives. But the bottom line is that, again, we need to come up with programs where we can share these kind of situations with our youth. Because once they start to see that we can come up with great opportunities where they don't have to put their life in a very negative situation where they could end up in jail or early grave, then that's a good thing, because they're going to say, wow, you know, that does make sense what you say. Because if I could just come out of all of this and start to deal with something from a positive perspective, whether it's dealing with an internet job opportunity where I could deal with, you know, doing a job business opportunity on the internet, and I can make thousands of dollars dealing with this. Matter of fact, that's even just as good as making drugs, because I don't even have to worry about going to jail or nothing like that. So when
well,
they start
that's
to
what I'm trying to do here.
That would be good. Yeah, that's really a good opportunity. But the bottom line is
you have
prevented. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it was, you have 803-729.
Okay.
803-729, your mic is open.
803-729.
God bless.
Yes, indeed.
I agree with everything you said. But the Bible said charity starts at home. You know, you got to show the youth love. You know, people forget where they came from. You know, we used to do things that wasn't pleasing in the sight of our mother and our father. You can't forget where you came from or where God brought you from. You know, like people say, you know, the youth, charity start at home. We started that way. But the youth, it needs some grown men, mental men, that will show the youth the way. When you go on the corner, it's the daddies on the corner. So what did they show it to the youth? You know, you got to show these young boys youth. You got to show them love. You know, the Bible said love covers the multitude of sin. So if you don't have no love for the youth, they ain't going to listen to you. Just like when we was coming on, my mother had 8 kids. But she didn't worry about us. She worried about the neighborhood kids. You know, back in the days, we could go to people's houses. We could go help. People don't want to help one another. They rather talk about people, put them down. When God said, if you see a man falling, don't talk about him. Pick him up. Because the same situation that they in, God could turn it around on you to see can you have. Sometimes the drug dealers don't want to sell drugs, but they got to feed their family. Sometimes the game bangers don't want to be game bangers. But that's the choice they made. That's why God said pray for them. Pray for them. Don't knock them down. I just ministered to 2 young boys. And they said, Miss Ann, I thank God for you because you never knocked us down. You always lift us up. You know, these young people are crying. Just like me and Benyami, when we was preaching, 3 young kids came to the service. And when God had me to minister to that young girl, they smiled. Sometimes you don't have to even say a word. Sometimes you can give a young people a hug, you know. Talk to them. Come down to their level. God said we so earthy good that we ain't good. Sometimes you got to come down to their level. Sometimes you got to reach them where they at. That's all I got to say.
All right, sis. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Mm-hmm.
You have 215. 215-783.
Well, just to make a comment on what you're saying.
215-783.
Yeah. So one thing I just wanted to say on that is that it's true. We do need to show love and respect for one another. But if we're not going to do that, then basically we're not going to want to help our kids. We're just going to say, I don't want to have nothing to do with that.
That's it. That's why the young boys come to me, because I show them love. It's the love that draw them.
There you go.
I don't knock drug dealers, because my brothers were drug dealers. And look how they became. They came producers. And them the ones God going to use. David was a murderer. Moses was a drunkard. So God used them. That's all I got to say.
Well, thank you for your comment.
215-783. Your mic is open. Unmute yourself. You got to unmute yourself, 215-783. Unmute your phone. 215-783. Your mic is open.
Sound like I hear some cars going by, but I don't hear no voices going.
Yeah, I hear cars. Maybe he stepped away from the phone.
You have someone else? John?
332-295. 332-295. Your mic is open. Unmute yourself, people. You got to unmute your phone. Your mic is open. Your mic is open. Your mic is open. Your mic is open. People, y'all got to unmute your phone. You have to unmute your phone. 718-710. Your mic is open. Unmute your phone, people. Your mic is open. Well, right now, everybody mic is open. You can try, any one of y'all can open up your mic. and see if you can say something.
Well, I'm still here.
Okay.
215-783. 215-783. Your mic is open.
Well, it sounded like you were about to say something, sis. Did you have another comment you wanted to share?
I got something I want to say, Phil.
Okay.
Well, by the way, this is Thomas Robinson from Smithtown Entertainment. And the conversation we was having about the I'm actually doing that here in Texas and trying to put together a program where I can teach the youth that's willing to learn the process of creating AI, how to utilize AI they think AI is taking over the world. The thing is, AI is as dangerous as if you use it in a positive aspect, it can be a very useful tool. So what I'm teaching right now is I'm trying to teach people to utilize AI to create books, to use their mental capabilities. Anything that you can dream of, you can make happen after when you're using the power of AI. AI is a tool, but it can also be a detriment if misused. If we get enough people to understand the power of AI and how useful it can really be to help better the world and use it in such a manner where it could benefit people, it is an awesome thing to have in your arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a deadly tool put into the wrong hands or put into the hands of people with the wrong mindset. But as far as bringing something positive, I'm utilizing AI to teach people how to build their own businesses. I'm teaching them, they don't know how to read, how AI can read for them. AI can teach you languages. AI does a whole lot of different things. It's just a matter of the ability that you put into it. And it just makes the capability that much easier. Program that I'm trying to open here in Texas as a business, but more as a community builder. Because I want to not be locked up or having to sell drugs or robbing people or doing all the things that so I'm trying to give an avenue where people can just have a chance to live their life, you know?
Mhm. When you say AI, what are you referring to?
Artificial intelligence.
Mm.
So when I say AI, I mean it is the newest and the latest technology that is actually sweeping the world right now. Every company, every corporation, every home business owner, everybody is willing to use artificial intelligence to help boost their businesses,
the right hands of the people with the right hands.
Hmm.
You can, it doesn't, the one thing about education when you go to school, school teaches you how to work your job. Schools don't teach you how to open up a business. They teach you how to work for other people, but they don't teach you how to own your own business.
Mm-hmm.
They teach you how to have a job. A job is just overthrown. That's just check the paper and your daily making. You're working all these extra days and hours and taking these TikToks and vacation days, some days, some not, when it costs nothing. It literally costs less than $500 to get an LLC to open your own business. But they don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Got more callers.
For other people,
all right.
How to make other people rich.
Well, thanks for sharing
okay,
that with us.
You have 832-746. 832-746. Your mic is open. Unmute yourself. 832-746. Can you unmute yourself, 832-746? I can't hear you.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, I just heard you say something a second ago.
I can hear you.
Say what?
Oh, 205-742. Your mic is open.
Yes, hello. Hello, everyone. I got on late. I don't know exactly what the general topic is, but I got a good idea and everything. Like you said, I could continue my train of thought or what I'm thinking about what can resolve our issues in America. So when once we realize and come to know who we are in this world, in the Bible, then we can start identifying where we're going to go. You cannot. I come from a mechanical background. And you cannot solve problems if you don't identify the problems or identify the components. If you were going to be a mechanic, you got to know what the wrench is, what a combination wrench is, what an alternator versus a tie, a carburetor, the manifold. You got to identify all those things to be able to fix it. And that's just an analogy I'm putting out there. So in life, who are we in life? Every one of us under the sound of my voice had a daddy. There's no way for you to be in this world if you didn't have a daddy. So now let's start that there. Lineage back. Who your daddy was? Who is your granddaddy? Who is your granddaddy? And so forth and so all the way back to the days of Jesus Christ walking upon this earth. If we trace ourselves back, trace our history back, we can begin to understand who we are to God, who we are to ourselves, who we are to the world. And all these bad things that have been following black people in the United States, and from slavery all the way to Jim Crow laws, all the way down to the civil rights era, and all the way up to present day. It's a pattern that's been set that we clearly see that we do not get treated the same way other races. We're not in the same position that other races are. They got so much background noise. Somebody need to mute yourself and talk about that background noise.
Yeah, but if somebody with cars are driving by every 5 minutes.
Oh, that's what it sounds like. Yeah, there's some cars going by. But at any rate, once we identify who we are, then we can learn how to play the game. Then we can learn all the rules of the game. See, somebody else labeled us. Somebody else named us. Somebody else put us in a and that was our slave master. Our slave master named us. Our slave master set up the schools for us. The slave master set up the food that we ate. The slave master set up the whole scenario that we find ourselves in. And then we still trying to be all inclusive. We want to include everybody in the world instead of excluding and learning who we are and get ourselves strong, because charity starts at home. Love starts at home. If we don't start loving ourselves, if we don't start taking care of our house, my wife, my children, my community, and we go back and read the Bible, God used those personal words all the way through the Bible. When did it change? God said, my people who are called by my name will be humble themselves. Repent, change from their ways. Seek my face. Then shall we hear from heaven. How simple is that verse is? I know we think something Christianity, the modern day religion teaches us that that's all inclusive. But God is very personal. And God, if everybody on their phone got any children, and if you said my children, who called by my name, who are you talking about? Who are you talking about? You're not talking about all these other folks' children. You're only talking about your children. If we were to have a crisis at the schoolhouse, all the scenario I'm finna set up, all of us had children at the school, and it was a calamity came up, and all the fighting, it was a calamity, all the children were acting up. We ain't saying ain't nobody innocent. Everybody's out there acting up. You get that phone call. What child are you coming to the schoolhouse to tend to? You ain't got jurisdiction over all these other folks that's acting up. You only got jurisdiction over what's yours. God came to Abraham. God came to Abraham and singled out Abraham, told Abraham to, he was Abram at the time. He told him to walk away from your daddy, walk away from your mama, walk away from your their religion, walk away from the land, and follow me. And follow me. And if we learn that concept right there, black folks, stop listening to your slave master. He created your problem, and he ain't never going to intend to solve your problem. If it ain't a classic example in affirmative action, they just took it back. What do we need affirmative action for in the first place? And now they can take it back from us. Don't even make no sense. Because if we were done what we're right, and we know what we're right, we wouldn't need reparations in the first place. And then when they take reparations back from us, who is going to affect? I bet you 90% of black folks ain't going to know the difference between when affirmative action in place or out of place, because them jokers treat us the same damn way. It's going to be the same thing. It wasn't nothing but a few slim people that were getting the benefits of affirmative action in the first place. All that stuff ain't never lies set up on the books to make you feel good, make pacify you instead of satisfying you. We as a race of people ain't never been satisfied. We've been pacified. We've been indoctrinated. We've been brainwashed. We've been hammered. We've been tampered with. Anything you come up with, and if you ever ask a black man right now what religion you is and why you got that religion, then the answer will be, my daddy or my mama is the reason I'm a Baptist. That's the reason I'm a Catholic. That's the reason I'm a Jehovah Witness. It was somebody who was following. And you don't even know nothing about none of those things. Because why? We came through captivity.
So whatever your last name is right to this day, you got a white man last name. You don't know who you is. But I'm here to tell you today, who we are. We are the people of the Bible. We came from the Garden of Eden. We didn't come from the cleft of the rock. There's a reason why Russia over there whooping Afghanistan. That's God playing, but not Afghanistan, but Ukraine. That is the beginning. That's it, the starting of white folks right there in Ukraine. That's why God's starting to blow that place up.
Woo,
because
on.
Ukraine is where white people come from, the cleft of the rock. That's Russia. That Russia land still. But it branched out and got their own government and all that. But at the same time, Russia over there whooping them because he said they were neo-Nazis. They hate black folks. They got a nigga day on their calendar to celebrate, to put down black folks. Now, we've been taught and led to believe that Russia is the United States' number one enemy. China.
This one ain't working.
China is our number one enemy. Go and listen to some Africa news. Go listen to South Africa down there. Those Africans are starting to realize that those G8, the G7, the United States included, those white nations come over there, rob, pillage, enslave, kill, do everything they can to take from the African nation. If they were to run them white folks out of them places and stuff, Africa come up. But we keep trusting the man that whoop our ass and been killing us. Room. If anybody know the story of Esau and Jacob, Esau is the progenitor of all white people. Go back and reread y'all Bible. Get away from the white folk because they ain't taught you nothing that benefit black folk. I just heard the person talking about ahead of me was saying that our education system, they teach us how to be better slaves. What's the difference between an educated slave and a field hand slave? Only a better position in the plantation. You're a doctor, but you don't have no hospital or a clinic with your name wrote on it. You're a rocket scientist, but you ain't got no rockets to work on. And you're a mechanic. You're a doctor. You're a lawyer. You'll do all of it, but you ain't got no courtroom.
Check.
So, people, wake up. Wake up. We got to pull out. If I was king for a day, we'll take the South back, run all the white folks out, and be like, what, Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Look at those men. Go back and get your history books out. Pull yourself away from them. Make them so jealous they got to drop bombs on them. But guess what? This time we're going to invent bombs. We're going to take our scientists, our smart people, build us a gun. Build us bombs. Get us some tanks. Because they're going to be jealous. They ain't going to never leave us alone. They'll never let us up. And all that intermingling, trying to integrate with them, the worst shit we ever got ourselves into. They're trying to fit in. God was never intending for this thing to be no equality. The world is going just like it's supposed to go. It was always meant to be subordinate and lower people working for other people. It's just working in reverse. We are the Hebrew Israelites of the Bible. We supposed to have been number one. We supposed to have been the one that went out and taught the world. But we don't have that hate in our heart. Esau got hate in his heart. He got hate. Black people don't have that perpetual hate in our heart. We're forgiving people. We had all kind of things and calamity that came down on us. And we still wake up with one foot in front of the other. No matter what, we oppress for variance. We done oppress for variance through all kind of calamity. But we still here. That white man is still trying to figure out how to way to kill us. But we still here. We still here because we got the hand of God. We got the promise on us. And no matter what trick, calamity, whatever scenario they set up for us, we still here. He is perplexed in his brain by how, why black folks still multiplying. We got the genetics there. All we got to do is walk by our woman. We got two babies. And they can't get babies like that for nothing. But they'll turn around and tell you, you know, hold all that against us. We're loving people. We got the blessing of being fruitful and multiply. And we can do that. So I'll get ready to yield the flow. Let us learn who we are in the Bible. We are the people of the Bible. The Bible is a history book. It is not a religion. History book is about a relationship with a God that chose us over all the races on the planet. Black people, you are the chosen people. You are the chosen people of the Bible. Not all black people. Not all black people.
Amen.
I'm talking about the Hebrew Israelites, the Israelites that don't know who they is. That what make us Gentile. So I yield the flow right there. We are the Hebrew Israelites. Let us reread the Bible. Let us re-identify ourselves. You ever go back and look at the TV when it first come out in the 50s and 30, 40, well, I don't know what year TV come out. You ever look at TV, you wouldn't even think black people's in the world. And the way Christianity and other religions that wrote the Bible, you wouldn't even think black people ever existed. Got you thinking all those characters in the Bible, all the patriarchs of the Bible is white folk. Biggest lie of the world. I'm going to close out right here. The devil description, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he the author of all lies. I guarantee you fly every bit of that to white folks, and they are the devil. They are the devil. They went all over the world killing, stealing, destroying. And then they got the same thing, got the thing called 3Ms. The 3Ms, and they're going to approach you with white Jesus missionaries. They're going to approach you what kind of money they can get out of merchants, the M, merchants. If they can't whoop you with this, with missionaries, they're going to try money. If they can't whoop you with money, they're coming with the military. Think I'm lying. 3M. Missionary, merchant, and military. If you don't get along with them and don't do what they say, they're going to kill your ass. And I yield the flow right there.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate you coming through. We're sharing some information, too. That was a good thing on what you were talking about.
Confirmation for the day.
The reality of it is that we do have these type of situations that we got to deal with. But the bottom line is, once again, when you do know that you are people of the Bible, and the bottom line is that you're just being told that you're a sinner instead in the churches, and that basically, being that you're a sinner, you just need to overcome your sinful ways, and that's it. But that's another part of Satan's lie, because it's true that we need to overcome our sinful ways, but the other side of it is, you also need to know who the heck you are. And when you don't even awaken to the fact of who you are and what you're capable of doing, you are going to listen to Master Charlie telling you all of these lies about what you can't do and what you can accomplish in life. And because of that situation, it puts us in a bad situation because, unfortunately, many of our people, like you said, have been brainwashed into believing what Master Charlie's telling us. And we don't need to believe in that kind of mess. You know, what we need to believe in is the truth of God. So when God is saying you are made in the image and likeness of God, that is a very powerful statement.
Man,
that almost had me fall out of my chair. Because when I saw that in the Bible, what it was basically saying is that we are not just limited human beings that can't hardly accomplish anything, but we are God beings that are true sons and daughters of God. And being that we are, that means that we have God-given power within us that can allow us to do many great and powerful things. And that was one of the reasons, again, why when I was on my radio show, and this was a couple of months back, you know, white racists came on and said, hey, you better stop telling your people this. You do not want them to know nothing about who they are. Y'all are just limited people. Don't be talking about y'all are sons and daughters of God. And if you keep talking about that, we're going to throw you in jail. And I said, what? You're going to throw me in jail for saying that our people are true sons and daughters of God? I said, wow, that's crazy. I said, that's it's said in the Bible that we are that. And even Jesus spoke on that when he said, the things I do, you can do. And even the things that we are capable of doing and that shows our true identity of being not just human beings in a black body, but we are spiritual beings as well that are very strong and powerful people. But the problem is, how can you tap into your God-given power if you don't even know it exists? How can you tap into, you know, raising your consciousness to higher heights and deeper depths in God and Jesus if you don't even know that you can do that? Because if you're stuck into just seeing yourself as a sinner, that needs to overcome the sinful ways, then that's as far as we're going to go. But if you can start to realize your true identity as being true sons and daughters of God, that means that you know that utilizing your God-given power can give you an opportunity to do great, awesome, amazing things, and not only for yourself, but for helping your people out as well. And these are things that we need to really awaken to, because we've been lied to for over 400 years about seeing ourselves from a negative perspective. But we have to start to see the truth of our true identity. And once we start to see that, we will start to see a new reality for you and me and even our community. And these are things that can truly come about. But how can they come about if we are filling our minds with fear and doubt that, you know, we're just stuck in the prison of poverty, we're stuck in the situation where we just got to see ourselves from a negative perspective? That's not true. We do not need to see ourselves in a down-and-out situation, but we need to have our minds up on high and knowing that we are true sons and daughters of God that have the ability to bring about awesome, amazing spiritual changes in our lives and in the lives of our people in our community. And once we start to focus on things like that, you will definitely see some positive change in our community. And I understand why that white racist wanted to talk about not only putting me in jail, but the other thing he said, which was really powerful too, that I spoke on, I said that Jesus was a black man. And some of y'all might say, so what if Jesus was black? No, that is a very, very powerful thing. Because the way that Christianity here in the United States has painted itself, it has painted Jesus as a white man, because they know that if black people ever knew the truth that Jesus was black, and all these white people are Christians and they're praying to a black Jesus, how the heck are we going to see ourselves as being, you know, folks that are inferior to white people and all white people are superior to us? How can we see ourselves in that negative viewpoint and see them in such a powerful and positive viewpoint when it's not true? Jesus was not white. It says in Revelation that he was a black man. And that's the thing. We have been told so many lies through the Bible, and we have had the truth that could empower us has been swept under the table so that we can never see it. Because once we realize that Jesus was black, that should set us free from all the lies and negativity of us being inferior people and white people being superior people to us. Because how can white people be on bended knee praying to a black man and yet you're supposed to be inferior to them? That doesn't even make any sense. If anything, that's telling you that they don't have no problem praying to a black man, because they know that in doing so, they're going to be able to change their life from negativity to positivity, to praying to a black Jesus. But they don't want you to know he's a black Jesus. And that's the thing. And a few churches that do actually recognize the fact that Jesus is black, they don't even show black Jesuses in their church. All they do is just say, he's black. Well, who cares if he's black or not? The thing about it is this. The truth will set you free. And if you want to be in tune with Master Charlie's lies and you want to just go along with a white Jesus, then that's up to you. But the bottom line is you're playing right into the game that he wants you to play. He wants you to say, listen, be loyal to Master Charlie, and from now on, just keep a white Jesus in your mind, and you always are bending your knee to white people. Just remember that. And even if it's not true, don't worry about it. See Jesus as being white. And you're always inferior and praying to us. And that's what he wants you to do. It doesn't have any significance at all as us whether Jesus was black or not. He wants to make sure that you just see things from that negative perspective, which is Satan's lie that's telling you that Jesus is a white man, and he's not. But the bottom line is for we as black people to know that Jesus was literally not a white man, but a black man, that should empower us to know that with a black man that was able to actually raise himself up spiritually through the blessings of God, to actually be a true son of God and to be able to accomplish miraculous things that he had done. That was wonderful. You know, his ability to walk on water, resurrect the dead, disappear, reappear. This man did so many things that the average person in the world cannot even think about doing. But yet, those are things that many of us could do as well. Because even Jesus said, the things I do, you can do, and even more. But that's another thing that is swept under the table. You're not supposed to know that. All you're supposed to know is that Jesus was a white man and that you are an inferior, mentally incapable person that cannot accomplish the very little. And all of that is lies. But we need to rise up out of those lies and rise up into the truth of God to know that Jesus was a black man. And knowing that is not something that's like, ah, so what? No, it's not a so what. It's a very empowering truth that sets our mental free from the ton of negativity that's been told to us over 400 years of being lied to. But unfortunately, even some of our people that know the truth about Jesus being black, they don't care if he was black or not. They don't care if he was purple, orange, or green. The problem is that, you know, they don't want to acknowledge the truth that he's a black man. And that's what white people want you to do. Forget about the truth. Hold on to the lie of Satan. Don't hold on to the truth of God. Because if you hold on to the truth of God, it's going to set you free, and you're no longer going to see white people as being superior. Because they're praying on a bended knee to black Jesus. And that should let you know that white people are praying to a black Jesus, that basically that should let you know that our people are not as serious as white people. That they are not superior to our people. And that's something that we can definitely know, that these are things that our people need to be able to acknowledge in their life. And it will change their life. And the black churches that do know these things should not keep saying, ah, go out. That is a very, very powerful thing that we need to start to acknowledge and show in the churches. Once in a blue moon, you go into a black church and you'll see a picture of a black Jesus. But that's once in a blue moon. That's not every black church you go into. Most of the black churches have a white Jesus in there. And many of those churches know that Jesus is black, but they don't want to change into dealing with the truth. And after I had said that about Jesus as a black man, that white racist said, listen, there's racist groups that are going to hear about this. If you keep talking about Jesus was a black man, you're going to be killed. They're going to come to your door and kill you, put a bullet in you. And I was like, what? I couldn't even believe that, man. Just because I'm telling the truth about Jesus being black, you guys want to kill me? So I was threatened to be thrown in jail. I was being threatened to be actually not only thrown in jail, but also to be killed. It doesn't even make any sense, but that's the other side of the story. Our people are not taking the truth of God very seriously. But anyway, God bless you all. Peace and blessings to each and every one of you. And I wish you all a very great weekend. Enjoy the rest of it. Thank you. Jersey, gotta get better. Forget about New York.
better.